like us to take our writing materials, your pen and your booklet, so that you can take some things down, because I want to, I came with a catalog here, and I hope we'll be able to address all the items that are captured in my catalog. The first way the Holy Spirit communicates is what we call a knowing. A knowing, that's number one. A knowing. And I want to define a knowing. This is a lecture. It's a spiritual lecture I want to deliver. A knowing is an inner ability to discern a thing for what it really is. A knowing is an inner ability to discern a thing for what it really is. This knowledge goes beyond the surface or superficial outlook of things and probes into the very nature of a thing. This knowledge goes beyond the surface or the superficial outlook of things and probes the very nature of a thing. Through this kind of knowledge, you can access God's inner testimony about people, about things, about places, etc. Now, I'd like us to take your scripture in Luke chapter 6 from verse 8. You are going to see an example of a scripture where there was a knowing. All right, let's do Luke chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he will heal on the Sabbath day, that they might have accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, said to the man which had a withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose up and stood forth. Then Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. My emphasis is in verse 8. Jesus knew their thoughts. 70% of the communications of God is in the realm of knowing. The first voice, the first communication system that God installs in a recreated human spirit is the ability to know by revelation, to know by revelation. And this knowing we are talking about is a knowing that you know, that you don't know how you know, but yet you know. It's not something that you can trace the origin, but it pops up. It pops up. It's an inner testimony of the Spirit's verification about a thing. And there are many times that we discard this knowing and we suffer great loss. This is the first level of spiritual perception. Turn your Bible with me again to the book of John chapter 13. This is the first level of spiritual perception. First level of spiritual perception. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Now, can you underline knew, Jesus knew, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing, underline that, that the Father has given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God. That means Jesus knew that he was come from God, and Jesus knew that he went to God. So there are three knowings in verse 3. He knew that the Father has put all things into his hands. He knew that he was come from God. He knew that he was going back to God. This is the knowing, is the first level of perception, the first manifestation of the prophetic nature of the Spirit of God on the life of the believer. And we need to be strong in these perceptions. We must be strong in these perceptions if we are going to have a very profitable walk with God. We need to be strong. The question today is, what do you know by the Holy Ghost? What do you know by the Holy Ghost? Because the things a man that knows by the Holy Ghost is a deadly man. It's not a man you can fight and win. He has an assurance that has been ministered to him by the Spirit of God, and that assurance is strength in his life. Now, let me show you a few things here. Let me show you a few things. I guess that is 2 Timothy. Okay, 2 Timothy. Let me check for the scripture. 2 Timothy. I guess it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 12. Okay, I'm coming. There's a scripture I would like to add. And in this scripture, you will find one of the benefits of knowing. One of the benefits of the knowing that we are speaking about. One of the benefits of the knowing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse. Let's begin from verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. It says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher to the Gentiles, for the which cause, because I'm appointed a teacher to the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. On the line, no, I know whom I have believed. There are several times when we are caught up with some dimensions of suffering. If you lack a spiritual knowing, that suffering is likely to defeat you in your soul. But this guy was going through suffering. He was going through persecution because of his own unique line of ministry to the Gentiles, the ignorant, the barbaric. And he was suffering so much, but he was not taken by the suffering, because behind his zeal was an inner knowing that was furnished by the Spirit of God. You cannot defeat a man that has a knowing. You cannot defeat a man that the Holy Spirit himself has furnished a knowing in his life. I know whom I have believed, and I am confident. That is the kind of stuff that God is able to achieve on the heart of a man that he has furnished with a knowing. I remember I was in the place of prayer. I was in the place of fasting. And that was 2003 on the 13th of January. Prayed from morning to 10 p.m. in the evening. And when I prayed in the evening by 10 p.m., the Lord encountered me, the details of the encounter with her. And in this encounter that God brought to me, he revealed to me that I wasn't going into full-time ministry at the time. I was praying to know what ministry God wanted me to function in. But he came and said, you are not going into full-time ministry now. I'm going to give you a job. And you will be working this job, and I'm going to raise you to become an apostle. A full-blown apostle. You see, that revelation came in 2003 on the 13th of January. And in 2004, on the 1st of June, I was given employment. So I've been working since then for the government of Nigeria. In fact, I'm going to resign just after the lockdown, because the Lord has come again and says, it's time for you to leave. It's time for you to begin foreign missions. That's the next phase of your assignment. Now, so I've been in public service for 16 years. And when we got the employment, we got posted to the field. And there was this supervisor I had that would just call me in the evening and say, why didn't you travel to the next city to go do your monitoring? And we used to be afraid of the supervisor. And when the threats were intense, I went back to God in the place of prayer. And I said, God, are you seeing how I'm being threatened? And God now asked me a question. He asked me, who gave you this job? Then I realized that I was not armed with the knowing of the fact that it was God that gave me the job. And because I was not armed with the knowing that it was God that gave me the job, I felt threatened when an ordinary onlooker threatened me. So when that knowing entered into me afresh again, and the supervisor called, I said, all right, send me a Hilux vehicle filled with police people, fully fueled, and I'm going to go to the neighboring cities and do my monitoring, as you have suggested. The moment I made that call, that supervisor never called me again till today. You see, the reason why I was able to respond like that was because I had a knowing. You are going to be a slave if you don't have a knowing. The spirit of sonship that is in you will not be able to be fully expressed except you are furnished with a knowing from the Spirit of God. I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him as against that day. I know that if I commit my spirit to him, he will keep it. I know that if I commit my future to him, he will keep it. Paul was speaking from a position of something that has taken residence in his spirit that was superior to the arguments in his mind. I know. My first question this night is, what do you know by God? What do you know by God? You will be doing something futile if you are trying to threaten someone that knows from the Lord. If someone has a knowing about his device security, and you bring a gun, and you want to threaten that person with a gun, you are wasting your time. You can't threaten a man that knows, because the depth of this knowledge runs deeply into the person's soul, and that knowledge is an anchor for the soul. Is an anchor for the soul. So that's the first level of perception as you begin to enter into the revival zone and you activate your prayer life and you activate your fasting life and you begin to develop a schedule of engaging God, if you become deliberate about building intimacy with God, the moment you begin to do that, what is going to happen to you is that a revival is going to break out in your life. And spiritual things are going to become more real to you, more real to you. And one of the first things that you will stumble into is the economy of knowing. If you have your Bible, I'd still like us to turn to the book of Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. If you are there, turn to verse 13. And he left them and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples have forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship. Oh my God. Okay, that's the scripture. Now, the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaving of the Pharisees and the leaving of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when he knew it, it means he didn't know it in the beginning, but it came to pass that the faculty of knowing was activated. The faculty of knowing was activated. And the Bible says he knew it. Nobody told him, he just knew it, and he began to respond to them based on what he knew. And he said, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand have your heart yet hardened? Having eyes ye see not, and having ears ye hear not, and do ye not remember? Nobody whispered to Jesus. Jesus was speaking from the fountain of an inner knowing. And he was responding to them from the pedestal of their thoughts. All they were doing was just thinking. And Jesus was responding to their thinking. I could imagine how afraid they were that if Jesus could intercept their thoughts, oh my God, then it means no secret could be kept from him. The knowing is a precipitation of a faculty of knowing by the Holy Spirit. And that's the first layer of perception. And most of the communication of the Spirit of God is in this form. Most of the initial communication of the Spirit of God is in this form. Now, I would like to show you the engineering of this knowing. There is a quiet engineering that I like to show unto us. 1 John chapter 2, if you have your Bible. 1 John chapter 2. This knowing faculty is very effective. When you begin to pray, supernatural knowings are going to begin to come to you. Supernatural knowings will begin to come to you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, just to discuss the engineering of the knowing, of knowing. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says, but ye have an unction. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. You see, our knowledge of things supernaturally is based on something we have received from God that is called an unction. The unction that we have received from God is a knowing faculty, embedded in the life that we have received from God, which is a Zoe kind of life, is a knowing faculty, I would like to confirm that in the book of John. We'll come back to 1 John chapter 2, but let's go to John chapter 17. You realize that there is a knowing faculty, that is, you know, is part of the life that we receive. All right? In John chapter 17, from verse 1, the Bible says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorified be, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Verse 3 is my emphasis. He said, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee and the only true God and Jesus whom thou hast sent." You see, eternal life, by definition, is the ability to be able to discern God. So anyone that is not born again cannot discern God. And if you are going to discern God, it's on the basis of his life. So part of what is in the Zoe that we have received from God is the ability to know God, inherent in the life that we receive. Inherent in the Zoe kind of life, which is the life that we stumbled upon on the account of our regeneration. Inherent in that life is an unction, is a knowledge faculty, And this is how it works. When you are in the place of prayer, be sensitive to know when this unction switches on. Because when the unction switches on, what happens is that you begin to know things. Even if you come into the place of prayer without a prayer point and you switch on prayer, that unction is going to open up at some point and you begin to know the prayer points to pray. God knows that he needs to give us inputs from his Spirit in order for us to become accurate as we engage, accurate in spiritual warfare, accurate in response, precision in knowing what we need to pray and how we ought to pray under different circumstances and situations. All of those variables that we are ignorant about is captured in an unction, a knowledge faculty, a knowing faculty that we receive from the Spirit of God. And Brother John said, we have an unction. My God, we have an unction. You must be diligent to know when the unction switches on. And the proof that the unction is at work is that the knowings will begin. You begin to know things. Supernaturally. You begin to know things by the Spirit of God. You can know, oh my God, if you keep developing it, you can pick the frequency that is transmitted from people's thoughts. We have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. We have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. We are going to do practicals when we begin to pray. And as we begin to pray, please take note and be very sensitive to know when the unction switches on. Because the moment the unction switches on, it means that in knowing, the enhancement has begun, the perception has begun, And then we have capacity through that knowing to operate on the higher level that is beyond the level of our training, that is beyond the level of our skill, that is beyond the level of the courses, strategic courses we have attended. A new profile of possibility breaks forth on the account of this supernatural impute that the Holy Spirit begins to bring to us. This unction and this kind of knowing is the basis of all true conviction. When you find someone that is convinced about something, find someone that is assured, the person is going to get married and he knows from God that this lady he is going to get married to is God's will. And there's nothing you tell him about that lady that will make him change his mind. He has gone beyond the realm of logic. He is in the realm of knowing and the realm of assurance. Such a person has gone beyond whether the lady is tall or short, whether she's black or white, whether she's good or bad. He has gone beyond logic. He is operating from the will of God. If you are still concerned about the height and the complexion, it means you are still in the realm of logic. At the time when knowing begins to come and convictions are deeply rooted, you have passed beyond logic. You are now in the realm of conviction. It is only the Spirit of God that can build us into the realm of conviction. Take note, when we begin to pray, part of the prayer point that we are going to raise for the evening is that God should activate the unction. And you'll be amazed. When we pray the right prayers, God will begin to manifest himself, irrespective of whether you are conversant with such manifestation or not. We have an unction. So the first layer of perception, the first layer of communication is what we call the knowing, realm of knowing. So number two, which is, we can only take 2 points for the evening. We'll take other points tomorrow, and we're going to pray special prayers in the session tomorrow. Second point, an inner voice. This is the one most of us are used to, an inner voice. An inner voice. It refers to a distinct reception of a perfectly coordinated speech in the language of your thought, which is facilitated by God through his Spirit within you. It's a perfectly coordinated speech in the language of your thought. And I need to explain to us that the voice of God is going to come in the language of your thought. If you think in Spanish, it's going to come in Spanish. If you think in English, the voice will come in English, because God is intelligent. God is an intellectual, and he will come in a way that you'll be able to reason with him. So the inner voice, that's how it is. It'll come in such a language that is a predominant language of your thought. It precipitates into the very core of your being, and it is normally too strong to ignore, even if it contradicts your own human philosophy. Acts chapter 10, from verse 9 to 13, we see a graphic illustration of an inner voice. And even though it contradicted the philosophy of the recipient, he could not deny that it was the Lord. Acts chapter 10, if you have your Bible, please turn with me. We'll begin to read from verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray for about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it has been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, not so, Lord." Even though the voice contradicted his philosophy, even though the voice contradicted what he was used to, he knew it was the Lord. It means that voice was strong enough for him not to be able to ignore, because this is the kind of thing that Peter would have wanted to ignore, but yet he could not. It stood out in his mind. It stood out in his subconscious. And he knew God was communicating with him. The inner voice is critical because it is through the inner voice you don't receive a mandate from Jesus by a knowing. You receive a mandate from Jesus by a direct communication. And when Jesus wants to commit himself to you, he speaks to you in simple, plain language. And what was happening in the book of Acts chapter 10, where we read, is that the Council of Heaven had held a meeting, and they had concluded that the time has come for the gospel to be open to the Gentiles. And of many people, many, many people that were recommended in the meeting, in the plenary, it was Peter that was chosen to play the golden role of pioneering ministry among the Gentiles. But you could see that even though he was the chosen one, and that was the reason why the vision was smuggled to him, if you notice that his prayer, the prayer that Peter was doing, in my mind, in my own opinion, was not any serious prayer. Because the Bible says that he wanted to eat food. But while the people were preparing the food, it means the fasting he was fasting was not really because he wanted to fast. His fasting was because the food was still on the fire. Right? So I'm not seeing any level of deliberate spiritual input here. He was just trying to while away time in the place of prayer. So this vision that came to him was not because of his prayer, but because of what heaven had agreed. And as it did something like prayer, and instantly the vision just came. It was not because he had gained mileage in the prayer, but heaven was seeking to connect him because he had been chosen for that task. But immediately when the call was delivered to him, you could see some resistance there. So ultimately and eventually, even though he was the one that was ordained to enter a pioneer ministry to the Gentiles, there was this inner resistance. And that may be why God, in his infinite wisdom, had to open the opportunity to Apostle Paul. But you see, in order for God to give you a mandate, he will have to lend his voice to you. He will have to speak to you directly. It is not it's not going to be vague. It's going to be very clear. And the inner voice is an avenue by which God commits himself. It's an avenue by which God gives you expectations that will test his integrity in his dealings with you. The inner voice is the facility by which God can give you a covenant, a promise. This is a critical avenue. And even though you have perfected the ways of the inner knowing, you cannot do without the need to interact with the voice of God. The voice of God is critical. The voice of God is necessary in your walk with Him. At first, when you begin to move in the prophetic in your life, God will start speaking to you by very short sentences. By very short sentences. And I would like to say at this point that God does not speak much. God only answers much. It is only such as know how to bombard God with petitions that get to hear the voice of God when He gives them answers. Listen to me. God does not speak much. God only answers much. If you make yourself a friend of God and you begin to build grounds for intimacy, you are going to hear a lot of answers, but God Himself doesn't speak much. And we need the voice of God, because it's through the instrumentality of the voice of God that we can receive mandates from Him. We can receive mandates from Him. I was in the place of prayer for 9 days, and God spoke to me. He said, "Teach my word now." I said, "Excuse me? I've been teaching for 12 years. So what was I doing for 12 years? He didn't answer. He said, "Teach now." So what that meant was that teaching was now an assignment. Prior to that time, it was teaching practice. I was practicing teaching. But He had given me a mandate to teach. A mandate to teach. And that mandate to teach came with an accompaniment of grace and revelatory power, accessing the mind of God through scriptures. There were compliments that accompanied this mandate. The voice of God is the instrument through which God gives us covenants. I was born in Stanley. It's a miracle that I can speak today. And when I took it to God in a place of prayer, He laid the scripture upon my heart. "For as for thee, this is the covenant that I have with thee. I have put my words in your mouth, and in the mouth of thy seed, and in the mouth of thy seed's seed." And I figured that if God had put His words in my mouth, then He will find a way to bring it out. That was the first major blow against the stammering impediment that I had. And today I can speak without stuttering. It's a miracle. But it came in form of a covenant, a commitment that was related to my calling. And God was giving me a covenant. "My words are in your mouth, and I will not change my mind. And I have chosen you to be my spokesman." So even if you become affected in the knowing of revelation, you will still need to come into the economy of the inner voice, because they are commitments that God will make to you on your spiritual walk. They are covenants God's going to cut with you in your walk with Him, and that will need Him to speak in simple, plain language so that you will understand the terms and the conditions of the covenants and the promises that God has given you, as the case may be. So the inner voice is critical. I can show you my diary of many years, and you will see things that God has spoken, and when I began to walk in them, and things that God has spoken, and when I began to walk in them, and it's just, God is faithful. So the inner voice is critical, because it brings us to a point where God can make commitments to us. God can bequeath mandates to us. God can bring us into the economy of covenants, things that He is going to be committed to, with which experientially we can now begin to know the level of His faithfulness and His integrity. That when He speaks a word, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for such a word which he has spoken to pass away. So this is how much I'm going to share with us for this evening. We are going to continue tomorrow. We have other aspects that we are going to delve into and other scriptures that we are going to have to read. But you see, the Bible says, he that lacks wisdom should ask. There are several things that will not open up until we begin to do due diligence in the place of asking. So there are two prayer points I'd like to raise. But before I raise the prayer points, one more time, I would like to ask the audience, you can come up with two questions so that I can respond. Two questions quickly on the issues that I just raised. Two questions quickly. I see somebody's message from, I think it's from yesterday's meeting. All right, what's your name? Philip. Philip. Philip, you are saying something. I'm going to respond to you probably after the time out, but I need to respond to the questions. Philip, I've seen what you have written, and I'm going to read it in my private time, and I'll pray for you on my knees. All right, first question. How do you differentiate our voice from the voice of the Holy Spirit? Will you allow me push that to till tomorrow? Because by tomorrow, we're going to deal with your question elaborately. The voice of your soul and the voice of the Spirit. All right. Say, thank you very much for this teaching. Please, what is your counsel for one who operated in the level 2 but due to disobedience, lost a lot and lost clarity in perception? I'd like to say here, the last time you heard God clearly was the last time you obeyed him. So obedience is a critical part of continuing to be accurate in the prophetic. So what I, Brother Abraham, what I suggest is that you repent for the disobedience. And if you repent for the disobedience, God is going to put you through an obedience test, a quiet obedience test. And the moment you pass that test, your hearing is going to be activated. I pray that you be strengthened in Jesus' name. What daily routines do we do innocently that may dull our ability to perceive and know? When you start becoming very prophetic, I will suggest for those of you in Europe and the other places with good internet that you like watching so many movies. I'm not saying stop watching movies. I'm saying if you can avoid violent movies, it is going to help your perception. If you can avoid violent movies, if you can avoid occultic movies, movies that have a tone of the negative supernatural, if you can avoid secular music, if you can avoid secular music, if you can also, with these routines, your perception will be helped. Perception will be helped. If you follow what I just said, your perception is going to be helped. Avoid violent movies. Avoid secular music. Avoid movies that have a demonic undertone. Pray much and fast often, and your receptacle will be as sharp as a blade. Yes, it will be as sharp as a blade. How can I deal with the inconsistency in my prayer life? Regimented prayer. First of all, do an assessment of your life and know when it is most convenient for you to pray, and then you set the time. Don't change that time. If it's 4 p.m., don't do anything else. Fight to pray. Fight until you go beyond the huddle of the flesh and you go beyond the haste that is in the soul. Then the bed chamber is going to be open to you. And if you smell the fragrance of that chamber, you never want to come out. How do I keep proper record of how God speaks to me? I usually find it hard to remember where I wrote what I wrote when it is happening. That means you have an issue of documentation. Look for a diary and call it your prophecy diary. And you can keep that diary for the rest of your life and make sure you write everything you need to write in that diary. It can take you for many, many years, and you will see the faithfulness of God from the time he speaks and from the time that it comes to pass. When you begin to see those things that God is telling you come to pass, you will become more serious with your secret life with God, and you will begin to see how God steers you through difficult seasons. He will give you an idea of what to do, and then you begin to see the sweetness that is in the walk, our walk with God. Regimented prayer is the key to inconsistency. Set a time for it. The Bible says they went to the temple at the hour of prayer. What do I do? How to do? Oh my God. Okay, how do I keep proper record? Okay. What kind of prayers activate hearing, warfare, and praise? Hearing, warfare, and praise. The first way to start prayer is to pray scriptures. Pray scriptures. Pray scriptures, all right? So when you begin to pray scriptures, God will begin to lay scriptures on your heart. Pray scriptures, he will lay scriptures. That's the easiest spiritual practice to do that will endear you to God and open the operation of your receptacle. Pray scriptures. Pray scriptures. Anything you want to pray about, go and do a little Bible study, get relevant scriptures. You read the scriptures and then you begin to pray them. You read the scriptures, then you begin to pray them. You begin to pray them. If you keep doing that, you will mount up with wings. You won't recognize yourself in 9 months, if you are consistent. Growing in the spirit is not difficult. Inconsistency lies the path. What can one do when he is losing his mind? Very, very simple. Very, very simple. Your words are superior to your thoughts. So when it seems you are losing your mind, what you do is just begin to declare the scriptures. Begin to confess scriptures. And the demon that is trying to put your mind in disarray is going to lose the authority to hold on. Your words have more authority than your thoughts. So make it a habit of declaring scriptures. Declaring scriptures. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I. Not I. Learn how to declare scriptures. When you begin to do that, that demon is going to go somewhere else. God told me in a dream that I shall arise and get down to Adoekiti and raise me a people. Though I've been fasting for 8 months, 21 years. Okay, what you need is a spiritual father. Go and share Victor, go and share what you receive from God with your spiritual father. And if you don't have one, trust the Lord to lead you to a more experienced minister that will teach you and guide you on how to implement that which God is saying. You desperately need some oversight in your life. You desperately need some oversight in your life. Watching you from Kenya, May you greater levels of prophetic. Okay, you want me to pray for you? Don't worry. The prayer, Brother Paul Calendar. Well, I'm going to pray as we pray shortly, Brother Paul. Recently, I stopped flowing in prayer. It seems as if I can't connect anymore when praying, and my speaking in tongues not fluent anymore. I recommend fasting. Fasting. I recommend fasting to you. The grip of your perception and your grip of your prayer will intensify, will multiply. I recommend fasting. And that is Sister Grace. Sister Grace, I recommend fasting. And if you can afford it, do 24 hours fasting. That is, don't eat for one whole day. And then you can begin to eat from the next day by 6 p.m. When you do that, you will not have this challenge anymore. How do I break out from sexual intercourse in the dream? It always comes like a pattern. Every one week of every month and every mid of each month. Secondly, I've seen myself in my secondary school in my dreams. Brother, your case needs personal administration, so just see Pastor. Pastor is going to help you out. But right now, my emphasis is hearing God, not deliverance. So you might, I advise you, book a time with Pastor. God told me in a dream, okay? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Okay. God showed me. What? Okay, please, how many hours do I need to spend in prayer to connect in the spirit realm? If you pray for 1 hour, you should connect after 1 hour. You should connect after 1 hour. But if you have not been praying for a long time, it might take you 1 hour. 15 minutes, 1 hour, 15 minutes, you connect. And then it will take you like 1 hour, 15 minutes to connect. And then you begin to do proper prayer thereafter. So your average prayer time should not be less than 2 hours, because most times it takes us 45 minutes, 1 hour to connect, so that you can have 1 full hour after, upon connection, to begin to glide in the spirit. God showed me my ministry in year 2000 in Nigeria. I started going to hospital, but when I came back to UK, even I don't dream again. Yes, it is because you have not maintained spiritual discipline. When last did you fast dry fasting, 24 hours? You'll find it's probably a very long time, and that's why your receptacle is dying. What do I do when one's mind is roaming in prayer? If you pray for an additional 1 hour, 15 minutes, the Holy Spirit will bring that your mind back to order. The anointing will overflow your mind and bring it to order. So it means you pray for a very short time. That's why your mind is roaming. Add another 1 hour. The mind will come, will line up. My question is actually far from what is being taught today. No, I can't respond because I'm concerned about what is being taught. Can you pray for me? Okay, no, not yet. Can I have more than one prayer altar in my house? I suggest that you have just one prayer altar. If you want to learn prayer discipline, use one place until you become a master. If you have not mastered, let the options be few. Let the options be few. How do I improve my spiritual sensitivity? Pray often and fast much. Pray in tongues more. Pray in tongues more. My fiancée used to receive night visions. Night visions, but now she no longer does. Oh my God. Pray often, fast much. Pray often, fast much. Pray often, fast much. Well, I'm almost out of time. The last 15 minutes that is left is so that we can pray as a congregation, and we are going to use it. I would have loved to take more questions, but the time will not permit. Other issues that are pending will be handled by Pastor subsequently. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Daniel from Ibadan, I have heard about being still before God to get mysteries, but I don't know how to practice it. Can you help me? Daniel, can you just pray much and fast often? Forget about your terminology being still. Just pray much and fast often. When God begins to suck you into the spirit, you will not be in control of many things. He will make you be the way he wants you to be so that you can hear from him and receive mysteries. We need to be careful to put God into a formula. It is more of an experience than a technique. Oh, Daniel from Ibadan. All right? Okay. Time to pray. Prayer point is simple. We are asking God to activate our receptacle so that our perception will become very clear. Activate my receptacle. Activate my receptacle. That's the prayer point. Activate it so that my reception can be clear. I can hear you clearly. I can see you clearly. I can know what you want from me at every point in time. Activate my receptacle in the name of Jesus. Activate my receptacle in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we call upon your name and we ask for those people that it's been long since they had a clear connection with heaven. We ask that in your mercy around this cloud, you will reach out to those ones and establish a connection in this instant in the name of Jesus. Activate our receptacle. I pray that the knowing of revelation will be restored. Its precision, its accuracy will be restored so strong that the inner voice will come with such clarity and it will build so much conviction. I release your grace over the house. I release your grace over the house. In the name of Jesus, let perceptions become clear. Let perceptions become clear in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let the hand of God go forth. Let perceptions become so clear. Let people begin to receive angelic encounters. Angelic encounters. Angels appearing and explaining spiritual things. People seeing all kinds of stuff in dreams as you are waking us with the revelational dimensions in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So, Pastor, once again, I want to thank you for the privilege, for the opportunity to be on this platform this evening, and thank you also for inviting me to be on the platform tomorrow. Yeah. God bless you. God bless you in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to have you on this platform, sir. We can have you again and again and again and again. You have invited us so much, sir, and God bless you and replenish you in Jesus' name. So